race date in your diary.
Uninterrupted full match commentary of every Leeds United game.
Home and away.
This is Radio Yorkshire.
Just gone 6 o'clock, I'm Joe Rawson and this is Studs Up, all your reaction to Saturday afternoon's football and rugby league and all the other sport that's been taking place. We'll talk a bit about Formula One before 7 o'clock. Lewis Hamilton is on pole position for the Bahrain Grand Prix. Wakefield winners against Salford in the Super League. We'll hopefully hear from Chris Chester before 7 o'clock. And in the football, defeat for Leeds United. They lost 2-1 in our commentary match to Rotherham. There were wins, though, for Sheffield Wednesday at Huddersfield. Hull City ran out 4-0 winners against Bristol City. Bradford beat Scunthorpe by a goal to nil. Sheffield United with a good 2-0 victory against Walsall. A bitter draw for Doncaster Rovers. They looked as if they were heading for a win, but last-minute equaliser from Rochdale means it finished 2-2, so Doncaster still rooted in the bottom four in League One. And in League Two, York City also conceded last minute. They ended up drawing 1-1 at home to Leyton Orient. Plenty more reaction to come. We'll hear from Neil Warnock and Steve Evans very shortly. And we'll hear from you, the fans. Tons of fans lined up to come up and speak to us on the phone. If you want to join in, 0113 277 5511. In the Premier League, the latest, it's Liverpool 0, Tottenham Hotspur 0. 34 minutes played there. We're here until 7 o'clock.
Prouder to be Yorkshire.
This is Leeds United Live on Radio Yorkshire.
Plenty of reaction coming in on Twitter to Leeds United's 2-1 defeat to Rotherham. I'll read some of those out after we've heard from the Leeds head coach Steve Evans. Radio Yorkshire's Mark Wilson caught up with him after the game.
I'm disappointed in the result. You know, it's a game that was always going to be tough. And I think from last parts, certainly the first hour of the game, you need to compete with it. The desire and the fighting spirit that Rotherham United has. I think we've done that. I think we're unfortunate to be a goal behind. Obviously we get back in the game and obviously Derbyshire gets sent off and we've introduced two wide players. And listen, I think they've been in and half about twice after that. And if you make a cardinal sin in football, as in defensively, you get punished. And it's a cardinal sin, it's a difference of us getting away with a minimum of a point. And I don't think there's, you know, and I know what the Rotherham United supporters and owners and everyone else is all about. Not for 1 minute did they think in that last 25 minutes they'd get a goal. Not for 1 minute. But they want their team to get a goal. And when we make the mistake, they get the goal.
Did you make enough chances, though, to win the game in the second half?
Well, I think no. I think if you're asking me, did we have enough quality from the wider areas when we got the opportunity to put the ball in the box? I just said to the players, if there's a criticism, it's that we didn't find people in the box and we put it into hopeful areas rather than picking people out. But I've not looked at the stats, and we will look at the stats from our perspective, and I think in the second half we must have 80% possession, of which 80% of that is in the Rotherham United half, and which probably 70% of it is in the last third. So you would be right to say that we didn't pick people out with a final ball, but we didn't lack anything today other than a big mistake.
Have you said anything to Belushi about the incident at the end?
No, I think when someone makes a big error like that, they come in and they're very humble and they know. And you look around the dressing room, there's an honest bunch of guys in there who know that we shouldn't lose that game today. Three or four Rotherham lads who will remain nameless at the top of the tunnel meeting me as I come up. Well, just saying, if we win that, that's their opinion of the game. And they're playing in it and they're doing battle for the home team. But we wish Rotherham United every success, you know, as a club going forward. And we'll go back to the training ground. That's what we do.
you've not got long, obviously, games coming thick and fast now. Your options up front are somewhat limited now. You've no Sullivan Dakar, aren't they?
Well, of course they are, and I certainly didn't see it coming. But I need to let the football club get the Football Association written reasons behind that decision, and let the president and the board make a decision as to what they want to do. That's for above me. Of course, it doesn't help me as the head coach when you're losing for that amount of games. But we have to. I don't have to like the decision of the Football Association, but now they've made it, I'm certainly entitled to respect it.
Did it come as a surprise, that one?
I think, like the football club said, and whenever it was, it certainly came as a surprise with a length of suspension. I was not aware of anything on the evening from Fulham. I hosted the manager and the staff for 40 minutes or so afterwards, having a glass of wine, and it was never mentioned. And I don't know when it was first mentioned, but I only became aware of it maybe 2 or 3 days before the hearing. And these things are always done in confidence anyway. And then obviously you know it's coming, so you wait on the decision.
Two red cards today. What do you make of the one for Derbyshire?
Well, Matt throws an arm, but I know Matt particularly well. He's not the type of player that goes out to do that to people. Not for one stretch, but my eyesight tells me he throws an arm. And when you look at Berardi's split forehead, then he might have caught him. Or it could be the opposite. There could be a clash of heads. I think there's people in front of me, between us. The referee was quick to react. So the honest truth is I'd need to really look at it more to determine whether that's a red.
You said you had no hesitation about playing Bailey Peacock Farrell. Is he going to start on Tuesday night?
Well, I think as I sit here tonight, it's either Bailey or me. I don't feel the goal as much as I used to. So that may be an issue. He's a young man that was going to make his debut this season anyway. It comes earlier than planned for us. The Leeds United supporters will see on Tuesday night we've got a fine young goalkeeper trying to get into the team.
This result hurts you, obviously, hurts you coming back to your former club, but you know, you said results will determine your future. This has got to hurt, hasn't it, tonight?
Well, it doesn't hurt my future. It hurts me today, it hurts me tomorrow. It hurts me till we play again. You know, I didn't want to come back to Rotherham United and lose again. I wanted to come back here and win. And for a lot of time in the second half, I thought that was, as night follows day, I thought that was going to happen. But when you think you're doing okay in football and okay in the game, then you make a mistake, you get punished. It's a football club that is very close to my heart.
You brought Cook off today. Was that just a precaution with him playing so much football?
Yeah, I think like Cookie had played two and a bit games. Funny enough, when we had decided to make the substitutions, Cookie then gone in his best little 5 minute spell just before it. All apart from the odd wild shot from Mustafa and Stuart Noff probably finding the men that he would like to have picked to, I think the two wide players gave us a real presence on the pitch. We suddenly had a lot of width. We had overloads in wide areas, we'd overload centrally. And as you often see sometimes playing against 10, then Rotherham United players had nothing left in the tank when we were dominating the ball, and it was going to take a mistake late in the game. And that mistake shouldn't have happened, that did happen.
Games coming thick and fast now, Steve. Is that a good thing at the minute? You just want to get that next win?
Well, we are hosting a very good team on Tuesday. Queen's Park Rangers, we all watched them last night. Jimmy's got them fired up and getting at it, but we're at home and we need to get back to winning. And there's no better game, I don't think, than you look at the quality of the fixture. Leeds United against Queen's Park Rangers. We want to get as many players available for selection come Tuesday afternoon as possible. We'll freshen it up a little bit, and then we're going to try and win the game.
Very interesting. The thoughts of the Leeds United head coach Steve Evans following his side's 2-1 defeat to Rotherham United. Let's continue to talk Leeds now. Bernard is a Leeds United fan. He's on the line now. Bernard, how are you? Good to speak to you as always.
How you doing, lads? Yeah, I'm just I'm a bit happy now. I'm just outside. Just been in the Scarborough Taps with a pint, and we've just been back about 20 minutes. And so I've just come outside. So if it's a bit loud to you guys or a bit of traffic going past, then please forgive me.
We will forgive you. We will forgive you, Bernard. What did you make of today's game? What did you make of today's performance?
Well, you can analyse it all you want. It's very simple. Neil Warnock did what he's good at in this league. All they did was they defended the box very well. I think Stevenson, I heard the interview there about we played football. Leeds fans were doing ole, ole, ole and all this rubbish across the halfway line. It was lovely. But you could see what they were doing. He gave up the midfield and he let us pass it away, and then they defended the box, they got the blocks in. They came alive around their box and we couldn't work it out. And they did the long ball to the two big lads and caused us trouble. They didn't cause us trouble. The first half, they had one chance and they put it away. The second half, again, the same old routine. They gave the ball up to us, let us come away from our own box. As soon as we got around their box, they had 8 or 9 men behind the ball. We couldn't break them down. And there's no way at all that we were going to score from close passing down the box. It was going to be a long shot. It was absolutely shockingly good for us, but unfortunate for them. Family deflected goal. We got away with murder on that. And I think Neil Warnock's team and himself settled for a point. Why couldn't we settle for a point? And the ball went forward on the halfway line to Antonucci. It was a shocking attempt to hold the ball up, and he gave it away. And you could see him thinking, well, it's on the halfway line. We're not going to cost anything. They put a long ball across the middle. Alusha tried something you won't see in a Billy Smart circus with it as an overhead kick right in his box, and it dropped through to Silvestri. We thought they'd missed the goal. We didn't realise that Silvestri had pulled him back because it was at the other end. So he couldn't even script it. I mean, at that time of the game, you get a point, they're happy with a point. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm angry or I'm just sort of like thinking, I'll go to the circus next week. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, it's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, so, well, where's the blame this afternoon then? Is it on Steve Evans' door or is it on the players' door?
Well, to be honest with you, all the game, all I could see, the second half when they were down to 10 men, Lee Camp found a chance, a good shot around the post, a good save. He found one over the bar, which wasn't really dangerous. And then the shot from Luke Murphy, they got a wicked deflection to get us level. And I said to my friends around me, I said, you know, you're going to win this game now. And that was all. That's all they had. You know, we stood up, Leeds fans stood up, just talking to each other. You know, you can say, apparently he's quoted us saying, you know, I'm quoting him wrongly, that he thought he got his tactics right. Well, getting your tactics right against a very poor Rotherham team, who are playing very basic Neil Warnock football, and to have us to watch Lee Camp palm a ball around the post, palm one over the bar and get a deflected goal. If that's getting your tactics right, then, and I defend Steve Evans, you know, big style. But today I thought, I heard your interview there, he does sound increasingly like a man who's, I don't know whether he just feels a man who's flabbergasted. And I really wonder sometimes if he understands what he's doing at Leeds United. He went about the wide men there, he put Carroll on, he did it too late. You know, he should have got people on at half time. I said it before, I said it at Huddersfield, it was crying out for a change. It was so simple what Warnock was doing. He's gone back to, he hasn't become a medical worker overnight as a Warnock. He's gone back to the old English football. Defend your box, give up midfield, let them have the midfield, and we look great flicking the ball around in midfield. We look like Barcelona and Real Madrid put together. We got round the box, it was same old, we couldn't find a pass, and it, you always felt it was going to be a long distance shot, which as it happened, we all said at half time, it's going to take something special, a net buster. And Luke Murphy hit it and he got a deflection. It was a shockingly deflected goal. And that's all we had to, you know, to get excited about. And, you know, we might have had 70% of the ball or 60% of the ball in the second half. Against 10 men, you know, we were 1-1 and we lost a game against 10 men in the last few minutes. And I don't know if you've seen the goal. It was absolutely shocking basic football. You know, your striker should hold. Your strikers are supposed to be big, strong guys. Antonucci gave it up so simply, and a long ball. And Belushi, goodness knows what Belushi was doing. And then Silvestri came out. It sounds off, but the three Italians. And I thought Belushi's been one of the stars the last 5 or 6 weeks. So I'm not going to. And I thought today, if we'd have come away with a point, I would have said Belushi is probably one of the best players. But what on earth he was doing with his back to goal, trying to do an overhead kick there, when in English football, it's either OZ or knock it back for the. It was easier to knock it back with his head to the keeper or put it behind to the corner. Well, but, I mean, I could go on all night with you. So frustrating.
It sounds horrendous. Where do Leeds go next then, Bernard? Because you've still got all this stuff about Steve Evans. Is he going to get a new contract? Isn't he? It seems as if he's not. Well, should they just cut their losses now and get rid of Steven and try and find a new man to come in and start planning for next season?
You've gone very, very quiet at this moment in time. All I can say for next season, I think the players, as I said, I was on Tom's show the other night, Wednesday Night Live, the common denominator is players, and I think we're well short of we need four or five players in there you can put straight in. We need strong characters who would not allow that 3 point or 1 point to get away from us. But until then, whether it's Steve Evans or not, you know, I think increasingly he's getting it wrong. But I still think give him a summer, bring his players in, get the strong players in, because I'm not going to name names, but there are players who quite simply can't handle a championship. They aren't big enough and strong enough to play for Leeds United. But we've just got to see this season out. But again, will the owner give? I think the owner wants to. If we do get up with this owner, he wants to say it was my selection. He wants him to say it was my team. So he's failed miserably. The players that Evans has brought in, Bridcut, Diodoraga, Carriol, have been, five times better than the players he brought in from Italy. Silvestri, Belushi, there's a guy who's still gone back to Italy. And, you know, he can go on, and I think he's brought in players that are simply not good enough. They don't get this game. So I'd bring English players in. Good, strong English players. Who know, it's a slog. But whether this owner will give us that is, you know, I don't know. It's up to him now.
You are echoing the views of a lot of Leeds United fans' frustration this afternoon, and a lot of them not really looking forward to Tuesday night's home game against Queen's Park Rangers. Bernard, I'll let you get back off to your pint. Thanks very much for joining us, though, here on Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
You have been very, very... I'm in the middle of Leeds, right under the station, so it's quite a bad reception. But anyway, we'll have a pint and forget about it.
Yeah, nice one. Enjoy your pint, Bernard. Thanks for joining.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
There we go, the thoughts of Bernard, the Leeds United fan, here on Radio Yorkshire. Very frustrated, Bernard. Yeah. You know, you only have to look at the reaction on social media, and fans not happy with what they've seen at the New York Stadium this afternoon. This man will be very happy, though. Let's hear from the Rotherham United boss, Neil Warnock. It's now 6 games unbeaten for Rotherham. What a turnaround at the New York Stadium. Here he is speaking to Radio Yorkshire's Mark Wilson after their 2-1 win.
We just have to enjoy every moment, don't we? They always talk about what you're doing and next year and all that. I think next week's the one now. Bristol City on Tuesday, that's my focus. You know, 14 games when I come, or 60, I can't remember how many games. But I want them to enjoy it. You can see they're enjoying it. You don't do that on the pitch unless you're enjoying it. And they like that in training. And we grew into games. I thought our worst spell was the first 10 minutes. And I thought then we grew into it then, you know, and... I thought the centre halves. Yeah, but you know the system they play. It's difficult away from home to try and, you know, but I thought once we'd sorted that, I thought we were a lot more potent on the break, you know, to get the 3 points, it's a bonus at the end, isn't it? Because we're up against it, but it just shows you a little bit of quality. Wardy doesn't know when he's beat. He made a great run down the channels against two lads and. Looked up and who's in there for X. Great ball.
Is that why you put Wardy on as well?
Yeah. We couldn't have Bestie getting injured doing that. He couldn't do that, Bestie. No. And we've got two important games this week. So straight away, I just said, get him on now, Wardy. And Smalley ran out. You know, he was covered every blade of grass, Smallwood. So we had to get Joe on. What was he doing, Chip, trying to score at the end instead of dribbling to corner? I killed him when he got to the, you know, he said, I saw him off his line.
Was Greg always down for the penalty?
It was, but apparently he shouldn't have been. I told him to take the penalty. I said, look, the way you're playing, take the penalty, son, you can't miss it, you. And so when they got it, I'm expecting him to take it, which he picked the ball up, and then everybody surrounded me. Frecklington takes our penalties, gaffer. So I told Frecks, tell him. He went to tell him, and he said, no, I'm taking it. So I said, look, it's my fault if he misses it. I take responsibility. I went on after and said, thank God you scored it.
Poor old Fred, then he runs his heart off and you take captaincy off him. And
not I know, didn't know he was captain. Take captain. Don't know he takes penalty. I said, is there anything else I need to know, Frex? You know, but not bother him that. That'll not bother Frex. He's a genuine lad, isn't he?
The result's gone your way since
we've been holding into. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, we still haven't achieved anything. We're a good group of lads, we've got feet on the floor, and we're going to get hiccups between now and the end of the season. I know we will. But we've got such a good group, I don't think a hiccup will bother us for the game after. You know, that's how it is, really. You've got to scrap for every point now, haven't you? And that's what we'll be doing. And you see that there, you know, because I think at 1-1 with 10 men, I think most people would have snapped their hand off at a point, wouldn't they? But that, we're not like that. I'm afraid it's one story after another at the moment, isn't it?
Where people throw themselves in front of things, Joe Matip, yeah, Kelly in the first half.
And the captain as well, you know, they don't know when they die. You know, that's how it is, isn't it, Les? I love that kind of football. I'm at Bramall Lane week in, week out. I love that intensity and tackles and headers and challenges. And I want my players to be like that. I think the players, I think the fans as well, you know, Yorkshire fans in particular, they want to see that, don't they? They work hard-earned money. You know, they want to see that type. I mean, it was buzzing at the end, wasn't it? I mean, the place, even at 1-1, Les, and with 10 men, they really tried to keep us going, the fans. Yeah. You know, because we had to let them have the ball and retreat and be organised, and it didn't bother them. They kept us going, you know. So I'm delighted for everybody today.
Neil, you say you haven't achieved anything yet, but you couldn't wish for a better start, could you?
No, I'm in the middle now, son. but let's hope the ending's the same as well. You know, it's as I said, I wanted to enjoy it, and you can see they're enjoying it. And when you go to work, whether you're a bloody miserable journalist or a football manager, if you're enjoying it, you work better. And we're enjoying it at the minute.
What was your view on the red card?
I thought it was harsh, very harsh. Looking at it, he's not deliberately elbowed him. He's gone up with his arm, but I don't think ref was going to send him off until he saw the blood. I think when he saw the blood, that made it, you know, it must be bad. But it's not a sending off for me. We're going to appeal whether we, you know, whether we have any success. Who knows? But it'll open the door for somebody else. If he's suspended, somebody else will come in and score the winner.
Has the spirit you found here surprised you?
Well, it hasn't just arrived. I think, you know, you don't just work like that. You have to work hard to get a spirit like that. And I've got, you know, Blackie and Jeppo really doing the business, really. And then I've got the icing on the cake, really. So it's a good recipe. You know, I've done it all my career. And it's like I enjoy it. I enjoy on the training ground. I enjoy seeing lads like that. And when I come off and I talk to them when they're all in the dressing room, they don't know. They've never had it before, some of them lads. You know, not that feeling. Whereas I've had it, you know, numerous times, and it's a great feeling Saturday night when you've played like that and got a win and you're going home. It's, you know, so a few more of them before the end of the season.
Have you any sympathy for Steve and the pressure he's under at
the moment? No, not at all, no. I've no sympathy for any manager. You know, it's hard enough being at Rotherham manager without worrying about other people.
Because you've been at Leeds, obviously you've been under that microscope that he's under now, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's difficult, you know. It's a difficult, you know, the people you deal with at Leeds, I think it's a difficult job. You know, I always felt that I was up against it with the media and everything at times. And it is hard. It's a big club and they demand it, don't they? But that's not going to change my views. I thought if I'd have been supported like I was told I was going to be supported, I think we'd have been successful. And I think within 12, 18 months we'd have been promoted. But, you know, I worked 6 months to get GFH in to buy BZR, and they turn out 10 times worse. So really, I think it's doomed, isn't it, really, for me. When it's like that, you know, it just didn't seem fair at the time. You know, when I get promised funds in January by GFH and then they say, we're going to reassess it and look at the club and spend in the summer, you know. And when we sold Snodgrass, we can. I was disappointed we couldn't, you know, I knew we needed pace. And instead of shopping at Harrods with some of the money, we ended up at Woolworths buying anybody, really. I won't tell you his name, but they weren't good enough. So no regrets. I wish we'd have got obviously got put because I've never been at a club like Chelsea at home winning 1-0. I think we were after first half. I have never ever managed a crowd like that. It was unbelievable. It was like the champion. I stood around thinking, bloody hell, this must have been what it was like with Eddie Gray and Lorimer and that, because it was just unbelievable, the atmosphere. Then we got beat 5.
The thoughts of the Rotherham United manager Neil Warnock, he must be on cloud 9 at the minute. What a start for him as Rotherham United manager. And the Millers clear of the relegation zone. They are in 20th. They have Fulham and MK Dons below them. Let's talk Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1, the full-time score at the John Smith Stadium. And Alfani is on the line now. Rob has joined us. Hi, Rob. How are you?
Hey, up, Joe. Yeah, really pleased. Good win.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Danny there reporting throughout the afternoon for us. Didn't sound a straightforward victory, this one.
No, I guess not. Huddersfield, I remember at Hillsborough, frustrated us for large parts of the game, and they did again today. We had enough, really. Forestieri being the standout, you know, he's just too good, too much quality at this level, and that was the difference, really.
Yeah, he has been the difference on many occasions for Sheffield Wednesday this season. Of course, it was a bit of a blow when he got sent off for something that really, he shouldn't have got sent off for against Hull, and the Owls missed him for a couple of games and dropped a few points. But a very important win this afternoon because of Cardiff's victory.
Yeah, and you look at the other results around, and Birmingham have slipped up, Ipswich, I don't think got a result either. So it looks like it's probably 2 out of 3 for the last playoff places, with Derby's form terrible. So it's looking good, yeah. I think you're right with Forestieri, unlucky, and I think the crowd, Huddersfield especially, got on his back today thinking he were throwing himself around, but he really, really does, trust me, get kicked to death when he plays. You know, it's a tactic of many teams to try and frustrate us that, you know, if he gets the ball, just bring him down and then try and regroup because he is that good. But yeah, I'd say it's definitely a great result for us today. You know, it's getting to the point now where Birmingham and Ipswich, and you're pulling away, and there's not that many games left to end of season, to be honest, for them to really recoup them that point deficit, especially with us having a good goal difference as well. I think that's really important towards the end of the season.
You know, if anyone at the start of the season had have said to you that Sheffield Wednesday would be fifth with, what, 8 games to go on 65 points, what would you have said to them? What would have been your reaction?
I mean, just definitely not. I mean, when Carlos came in, you know, nobody had heard of him. He was bringing all these players in from, these foreign players from Portugal, and you just thought, oh, you know, oh my God. Are we going to end up having a bunch of players that don't care? And if we start losing, and then of course we did actually go on a poor run, didn't we? And you know, Carvajal could well have got the sack at some point. But since he's brought Bannon in, and since he brought Forestieri in, since he brought Hooper in as well, they've just been such pivotal to the way we play. And you know, building it seems a real team that we've built now. And yeah, I just wouldn't have believed it. But now you do, you know. I'm ever a pessimist as a Wednesday fan, so I don't potentially think that we're going to end up in the Premier League next year, but you definitely see a future for the squad.
Yeah, what did you make of the opponents, Huddersfield, this afternoon? Because I guess they're trying to take on the Sheffield Wednesday model of sorts. They brought in a foreign coach. Maybe they won't have the same amount of investment going into the playing side of things, but certainly the way they play football.
Well, I mean, that's interesting, actually, and it's interesting from a Sheffield Wednesday point of view because I think it was... It was Wagner's first game in charge at Hillsborough. So it's clear to see the difference is made, because when they came to Hillsborough, I know they went 1-0 up, but it was ugly football. You know, they came to frustrate. They put 11 men behind the ball. They threw themselves on the floor at every opportunity. They hacked us down whenever they could. And it was an improvement today. I mean, I can't really see the direction of football. I don't necessarily believe they'd have scored in open play. You know, they seem to be looking for a set piece. But again, we're a team banging form, and we expected I'm sure they expected a difficult game, and I guess they got one. And Sheffield Wednesday teams in the past that I've been involved with wouldn't have won today. So, but it is literally, you know, one or two players. Forestieri obviously being the standout and being enough to see us through, and enough. And Huddersfield didn't have that.
You confident Wednesday going to stay in the playoffs? Then I think you said earlier it's a three-horse race for that sixth spot between Derby, Cardiff, and Ipswich. So you think that Wednesday have secured that top six spot now? Do you?
Well, I think the way we're playing, you know, we've got his tails up. We've got Barry Bannon to come back in. We've got Poodle to come back in as well. I can't see us not making the playoffs, especially when you look at Derby's form, albeit they've got a fantastic squad. And Cardiff, again, a big team coming in late in play, and that's always a worry because there's always a team that has a late surge, and it looks like it's going to be them. I think we've got enough points at the minute to keep Ipswich and Birmingham, and I think it will be obviously two out of three. And you just, fingers crossed, with the running as well. You know, we've got Derby to play. We've got Ipswich to play, I think. I think we will do enough to get in the playoffs, yeah.
Well, fingers crossed from a Sheffield Wednesday point of view. Rob, thanks for giving us a bell here today. And another good win for Sheffield Wednesday. The Owls ran out 1-0 winners against Huddersfield Town. It's currently 0-0 Liverpool against Tottenham Hotspur in the late Premier League kickoff. The closest any side has come to scoring was Daniel Sturridge a few moments ago. Elsewhere for our Yorkshire sides today, wins for Bradford City and Sheffield United. A defeat, though, for Leeds United against Rotherham. A good win for Hull City. They beat Bristol City by 4-0. Doncaster drew 2-2 to Rochdale, and it finished York 1, Leighton Orient 1. Hopefully now we can speak to Paul, who's a Huddersfield fan. Paul, how are you?
I'm okay, Joe. How are yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. We've just heard from a Sheffield Wednesday fan. What's your view on today's game? Rob was saying that actually Huddersfield didn't play too bad, and the difference in the teams that he saw play when Huddersfield were at Hillsborough early on in the season and today, he said there was a huge difference.
Yeah, I think I didn't go to the Wagner's first game away at Sheffield Wednesday. I didn't go to it, but yes, I did go today. There's a massive improvement from Wagner, from when Wagner took over, definitely. But it's still evident today. You know, there's a big gulfing class between the maybe top 10 teams in the league, which is why we haven't beaten, I think, anyone in the top half in 23 games, something like that. But you've got players like Forestieri. He's one of them players, as opposition fans, you hate him. He's always rolling about, diving every 2 seconds, but he's a very, very top-quality player. I've seen him several times play against us. When he played for Watford, watched him play, he did exactly the same thing. Very influential in the game, but always rolling about on the floor. He's one of them players you'd love to have in your side, but you hate him if he plays against you because, you know, he goes down very, very easily. But, yeah, I think, to be fair today, Joe, overall, I see it different to the Sheffield Wednesday fan, obviously, but I think probably a draw would have been a fair result today, to be fair. They had really very little chances, one decent chance, and unfortunately fell to Forestieri.
Yeah, I mean, we had our reporter Danny at the game, and from his updates, it didn't sound as if there was much happening in front of goal for either side this afternoon. Is that just the difference at the minute, though, between Huddersfield Town and these top half teams? The fact that they're just missing that one player with that bit of quality that can change a game?
Yeah, I think he's. I mean, Todd Forrest here is top class. I'll admit that. Like I say, I've seen him several times, but you know, we're in different spectrums. They've spent a hell of a lot of money at Sheffield Wednesday, as far as I'm aware. You know, they've got a lot of foreign influence, which I think we're starting to slowly take that approach with. You know, the German left back were meant to have signed Chris Lowe and Matt Moore coming in and stuff like that, which I think we're going to be taking a similar sort of approach, maybe not as rapidly as Sheffield Wednesday have done, and we certainly haven't got the money they've got, but yeah, you know, that's just the difference. They've got quality, albeit foreign players, but they've got players like Aidan McGeady as well. You know, he's a Premier League player. You know, they've got named players, and we can't compete with that at this moment in time. I think given the summer for Wagner to get in where he wants to get in, player wise, to get in his own players, because we're playing very well, we're missing another top goal scorer to maybe get another 15-20 alongside Naki Wells. But I think given the summer, hopefully survive this season, although it could go either way still yet, but I think we should be okay. Like the previous caller said, the games are running out pretty quick. There's only 7 games left, but I think we should be okay this season. This case of Wagner getting in the players, I don't care if they're foreign or not anymore. A lot of other foreign players are in this league, and other teams are prospering. You know, your Borough, your Derby, and your Sheff Wednesdays, teams like that. So hopefully we'll go down the same road.
Rajiv Van La Parra on the bench once again today. Are you looking forward to seeing him getting a couple of starts and seeing how he takes to this style of play?
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard a lot of things about him. Seen him a couple of times. Saw him play against us when we beat Wolves a month or so ago. I think he's one of them players. He just sometimes certain players, certain clubs don't fit. Seeing that he fell out with the manager there, Kenny Jackett, and I think it'll be different for him for Huddersfield Town. I think he'll be felt as if he's wanted. I think Wagner will look after him, put an arm around him. So I think it'll work well for him. I hope it does anyway. With the bits I've seen of him, he does look quality at times. But as far as I'm aware, he's not up to speed with our style of play and our fitness regime. So it's why he's not starting today. Well, he wasn't even ready to start today. So that just goes to show Wagner's influence. But yeah, he's not far away, isn't Van La Parra? So yeah, it'd be good to see him last few games of the season, maybe start a few games.
Yeah, Huddersfield just need one more win, you would think, to absolutely guarantee them safety for next season. Middlesbrough up next on Tuesday night. That's going to be a tough one, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, very, very tough one. I was hoping we'd get a win today because thought we'd have a chance today, which we did have a chance, to be fair. It was pretty even, but yeah, very, very difficult 7-day period, really. Sheffield Wednesday home, Middlesbrough away Tuesday night, and then an easy task of Hull at home next Saturday. So yeah, where we'll get 3 points from, I'm not quite sure, but if we can get 3 points from either of them two games, I think we should have enough of them, because games are running out pretty quick. I mean, I think there's only 7 games left now as it is.
Yeah.
It'd mean teams lower than others winning most their games and us losing most our games to get relegated. So I don't think that'll happen now, Joe. I think we've got enough points, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree. I think Huddersfield just will edge over the line, but things are looking positive heading into next season. A fresh start, and David Wagner, when he's had a full pre-season with the players. I'm excited to see what Huddersfield will bring to the table next season.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. I mean, today, if we won today, another game's gone our way, we could have been 12th today, as far as I believe.
Yeah, you could have been.
Yeah, that's where we are. You know, we could finish mid-table, or we could finish fourth bottom, third bottom. You know, that's just whereabouts we are at the minute. But I think we'll have enough. Yeah, and I'm the same, Joe. I'm very excited for next season. I'm looking forward to summer, see who we bring in.
Yeah, well, that will be interesting. Paul, thanks very much for joining us here on Radio Yorkshire. Appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us after that defeat for Huddersfield Town against Sheffield Wednesday at the John Smith Stadium. Our reporter who was at that game, Danny Parkinson, has walked into the studio. Danny, Was it a fair result in the end? It sounds as if it a draw might have been the fair result, actually.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same, to be fair, Joe. I think looking at where Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday both had their styles of play, I mean, for me, they did sort of cancel each other out for large parts of that game. And the first half and probably 60 minutes of that game, neither side had any clear-cut chances. And then Sheffield Wednesday started to pull a few away after that, and Carvajal changes attacking options, bringing on Mateus and Nuhu later on in the game, and that really did pay out for him for me. They had that little bit of an edge over Huddersfield, and that's all it was. It was just a bit of an edge, and that's all it took. Both sides defensively very solid, and I really did think this was going to end 0-0.
Yeah, but Forestieri is that bit of quality that Huddersfield don't have. I'll just let you know that Liverpool have taken the lead against Tottenham Hotspur. Philippe Coutinho with the goal there for Liverpool. Of course, Tottenham wanting to keep the pressure on Leicester at the top of the Premier League, but Daniel Sturridge has just come very close to doubling Liverpool's advantage. Huddersfield, they just haven't got that bit of quality that the likes of Sheffield Wednesday and some of the top six sides who they've come up against. Middlesbrough will be another on Tuesday. They just haven't got that star player just yet.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And this is one thing that I say for every Championship side. If you're wanting to succeed and break into that top 10, dare I say top six, you need to have a really solid attacking force. And that's something Sheffield Wednesday have got enforced. I mean, Forestieri's worth his weight in gold. He tends to make the opposition fans not too happy with him with some of his antics on the field. But Sheffield Wednesday love him. And there's a reason. It's just the amount of goals he scores. He was in the right position today to get that goal. And, you know, you can't blame him for that. Huddersfield, if they have that same sort of attacking potency, that it could have swung the other way. But that's what every club in the Championship needs, really.
Yeah, well, we'll stay on the line because I'm hoping that Mike Harrison, the City Gent, I know you're a Bradford City fan, and Mike, the City Gent, is joining us on the line now. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very well. Well, what an Easter period it has been for Bradford City.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, 9 points in the last three games is as much as you could hope for, and it's, you know, We're heading for the playoffs at 1-0 at a time, which is fantastic.
Mike, I've got to ask, 23 clean sheets so far in the league. I mean, that's a great record for Bradford City to set. I mean, that defensive lineup's been fantastic this season, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, you've got to give some credit to, not only Phil Parkinson for bringing the players in, but also, you know, there's somebody like Nathan Clark, who I'm sure he'll admit himself if you interview him, and didn't have a great start to his career as a Bradford City player at the start of the season. And, of course, that instigated Phil Parkinson bringing in Reece Burke on loan. But, I mean, now Nathan Clark is just immense playing. And we're not, you know, as much as, you know, we all love Rory McArdle, who's a fantastic defender. And he's played his part in all those defensive clean sheets, but Nathan Clark's playing out of his skin at the moment, as is Reece Burke as well. So it's been, and you know, it's everybody. I mean, everybody's playing the part, but yeah, it's a fantastic defence, and what a fantastic record that we seem to be setting.
Yeah, the Bradford City squad. I mean, you look at who he had on the bench today. The likes of Hansen coming off, Steve Davies, who obviously grabbed a goal, McArdle. I think this is the strongest Bradford City squad I've seen in a couple of seasons. Now everyone's fit.
Well, it's amazing how the season sort of has panned out, because you know, we were fairly, you know, I'm sure, you know, Phil Parkinson set up or trying to get a squad together during the summertime. We were really unlucky with injuries regarding, you know, we lost Philip Moraes in pre-season, and of course Billy Clark and Paul Anderson picked up injuries, and of course we've had a few injuries, you know, to key players through the season. But now just about everybody's ready and fit and ready to go again. I think we're just sort of waiting for Rory McArdle to get himself on the benefit, but I'm sure he's there and he'll be there soon if needed. But yeah, you're right. I mean, now, what an embarrassment of riches that Phil Parkinson's got. And it's, as I put in my editorial in the New City Gen that came out today, that, you know, it may pose its own problems. But, you know, he's picked a very good side today. He wasn't afraid to bring back Josh Cullen and Lee Evans. and of course back into the game today. And you know, everybody's got to play the part, be it you're on the bench or even if you're not in the in the squad of 16 or 17, whatever. It's, you know, everybody will have to play their part, and we've got, you know, six massive games to come, and hopefully two or three more after that.
Bradford have had the fair share of injuries over the season, but Stephen Davies coming off the bench again today and scoring a goal. I mean, it seems that importance of the attacking threat that Phil Parkinson can switch it around up front, and he has confidence in a couple of strikers now.
Yeah, and you know, and somebody like Wes Thomas, who was impressed while Stephen Davies was off injured, and Billy Clark was injured too. You know, he's not even getting a look in. As isn't Mark Marshall. But yeah, I mean, great for Stephen Davies to come back from injury, and you know, he's scored all five goals now as a substitute. But you know, to come on today with his first touch and score the goal was absolutely fantastic.
And the result means Bradford have gone above Millwall into fifth in League One, and they are hitting form just at the right time.
Well, you know, once again, I've managed to be right in some things. I was putting a City Gent together last weekend, and you know, it came out today at the game. But you know, as I put in my first line of my editorial, it's not where you start, it's where you finish, and City are finishing very, very well, and I think, you know, a lot of the other sides will be looking at us and thinking, wow, you know, look at them. You know, they've got everybody's fit. They've got a fantastic squad. And, you know, we're grinding out results because, you know, fair play to Scunthorpe. They were a very good side today. You can tell why they've been on a very good run and they've got themselves onto the fringes of the playoffs. But once again, you know, the spirit within this Bradford City side has pulled through. Phil Parkinson made the changes and yeah, you know, okay, it was only 1-0. It could have been a few more towards the end because obviously Scunthorpe were coming out to try and get an equaliser. And, you know, their keeper, I thought, was tremendous and he made some really good saves late on. But it's you know, it was a thoroughly professional performance, as was the performance at Crewe on Monday, as was the performance against Millwall last Saturday.
That's it. And 1-0 wins are never a bad thing, particularly when they're against someone like Scunthorpe with the form they've been in. I think that's their first defeat in eight games. So yeah.
Exactly. You know, and you could tell they were a really good side today. And, you know, but for a couple of really good blocks, I think was Stephen Darby's responsible for at least one or maybe two of them. And Ben Williams made a save as well just before half-time. You know, they could have easily scored then, and that would have put a completely different complexion on the game, as it turned out. And there is such this determination, whoever's playing in that defence, to try and put blocks in and put the body on the line, as it were, to stop the ball going in the net. And that's why I think, you know, we've had so many clean sheets this year, because, you know, the players really do put their bodies on the line to make sure that at all costs try and not concede a goal.
Yeah, it's all looking very positive for the Bantams at the minute, and another great win, a 1-0 victory against Scunthorpe at Valley Parade.
Yeah, some nice problems for Phil Parkinson to have. You know, he's got a great squad now to choose from. Six very important games to come up, and you know, if we can cement our place in those that between third and sixth, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be. Mike Harrison, the City Gent, always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks very much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, no problem.
There we go, Mike Harrison, the City Gent. Danny, it is all very positive for the Bantams at the minute.
Yeah, it's all coming together now, and I said it a few weeks ago, I think it was after the Burton game, when they played some really good football. It was a fantastic performance to meet the top of the league team, and I said, you know, if they could play like that in every game, they won't go far wrong. And there's only one game where they've had trouble, and that was against Wigan. Now, they're a team that are coming on the right side of where they want to be. Wouldn't surprise me if they went up as champions, because they've just got such a wealth of quality in their squad. But I look at Bradford now, they keep turning out these wins, and they keep beating the teams around them as well. It was a really tough couple of months, these last two. A lot of top six opposition. And also, you look on the other side, a lot of teams, your likes of Crewe and your likes of Colchester, are going to fight tooth and nail to get out of there. Now, everyone was cursing the name of Colchester a month or so ago, and it all looked to be pretty grim, but they've managed to hold Millwall back to a draw today, so happy days on that front.
Yeah, happy days. Just want to bring it back round to our commentary game before we finish off at 7 o'clock. Leeds United losing by 2-1 to Rotherham United. I'm hoping Kev Markey is on the line. Hi, Kev.
Good evening, yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I'm not as dismayed as a lot of Leeds fans may be, but there you go. One of those crazy derby games and crazy result at the end, and obviously Rotherham went home happy, and we've got our tails between our legs yet again for the second consecutive derby game, unfortunately, but looking positive. It's Tuesday night, home game. Let's get back on track again.
You're the first fan who we've spoken to who seems quite positive. Why are you feeling so positive, Kev?
Well, I'm positive because, you know, for the most part of that game, we were sort of in control of the game, really, I thought. We bossed the possession around and we were a lot better than we were against Huddersfield. That's what I'm looking at. We were dreadful against Huddersfield, not so dreadful today. And I thought, apart from that error at the end, when Belewski should have headed the ball, like most central defenders should do in that position, instead of doing a scissor kick, then we probably would have got a point out of it, which wouldn't have been a disaster, a point. Maybe it was a fair result. But I think most fans would have walked away from that game after 1-1, or if we'd have sneaked to win ourselves, and been quite content with it and looking forward to Tuesday. Obviously, you name one Leeds fan who was happy when we lose the game. There's not many around. So if you do a straw poll on fans leaving the ground full time and asking a question, they're going to be fairly negative, unfortunately, because of the way the game finished. Good luck to Rotherham. I mean, it looks like they're safe from relegation now, but all I can say is we were much better than we were against Huddersfield. They scored with the first sort of they created a chance and scored with the first half chance of the game, really, in the first half. Second half, it was a bit messy to begin with, but when the guy got sent off for elbowing, it must be something with Berardi and Rotherham, because every time he plays against them, he loses a lot of blood. I think they must need a lot of blood in that area. his face was absolutely mashed in again, this time by Derbyshire.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. It does look quite bad.
Yeah, and it was laughable when Warnock says the referee only sent him off when he saw all the blood. Well, the blood must have come from somewhere and it was created by somebody. So after that, I thought, with 10 men, I thought, yeah, we got a good goal back. It took a slight deflection because Lee Camping, he played brilliantly all afternoon, to be honest with you, and that was the only way he was going to get beaten. But after that, when it was 1-1, I thought there was only one team that was going to win it, in all honesty. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way because of Belewski's error at the end. But, you know, that happens in football, unfortunately. It's a bad defeat, but not as bad as the Huddersfield one. And we've got a quick game on Tuesday now to bounce back against QPR, who lost themselves last night at home to Middlesbrough. So you've got to look on the positives, Joe. I mean, all right, I might be upbeat at the moment, but believe me, I'm not happy that we've lost. It's just that I thought there were certain players who played quite well today and looked much better than they did against Huddersfield. But the only thing I've got against what Steve Evans did today is when he took Lewis Cook off. I don't know why he did that, because I thought he was having his best game for Leeds in a long while, and he was really teasing the Rotherham defence. And all right, we needed a bit of width, but I don't think he was the right player to take off at the time, really. But other than that, you know, Wood looked like he needs a few more games because he's not match fit. He was snatching at chances. He had two decent chances that he may have taken earlier in the season, but unfortunately today, maybe it's a game, you know, he's going to need a couple of games to get back into match fitness again. But you got to look at the positives when you lose a game like this, because we weren't battered by any means like we were against Huddersfield in that second half. We just didn't create enough chances against a very rigid, as you would expect from Warnock, a team that was hard to break down, because obviously the guy knows his stuff.
He does. Did you hear the Neil Warnock interview go out on Radio Yorkshire? Did you hear some of the things he was saying about Leeds United?
Yeah, well, you'd expect him to say, obviously he's concentrating on Rotherham at the moment, as he said, but obviously he'll have a few stories about Leeds and what he really thinks about the club, I should imagine. That he wasn't backed by the club at the time, and the media were against him. You know, it's all these sob stories that he comes out with at times. But, you know, if you look at his record, maybe it wasn't that bad, especially at Elland Road.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it never really worked for him, because obviously, you know, they're never going to take to a person like Warnock, who's, you know, been slagging your team off for most of his career, and then when he gets the job, he expects everybody to be his friend. But, you know, fair play to the guy. He's done a good job at Rotherham, and he looks like he's done the trick there to keep them up.
Just got 1 minute left, so quickly, where do Leeds go next, Kev?
Yeah, I've only got a minute to answer that. Yeah.
Yes, pressure's on.
Well, we've got 8 games to go, and we still need a couple of wins to make sure we don't get sucked in. But I'm fairly certain we're okay. But we need something for the fans to shout about. Hopefully, the new keeper on Tuesday will put in a good performance, and he might play the rest of the games. You never know. That could be a bit of sunshine on the horizon if another player that could come in through the ranks.
Yeah, highly rated youngster Bailey Peacock Farrell. So it will be interesting to see how he gets on. And yeah, well, nothing to lose now. Leeds United, I think they are just about safe. So, you know, I guess that's one thing the fans would like to see between now and the end of the season. Plenty of youngsters being given opportunities.
Definitely, yeah. Nice to see Coyle come back into the team as well, because he's a great prospect. But yeah, 8 games to go. We won't be in League One, hopefully, and who knows, we'll be manager, who knows, we'll be owner, but the fans will still be there next season.
Well, got to leave it there, Kev, because we're nearing towards 7 o'clock, but appreciated, and thanks for joining us on Studs Up.
No problem at all. I'm going to have a good night, whatever, anyway.
Yes, nice to hear a positive fan, Kev Markey there. A rarity after a defeat, Danny.
Yeah, you're right there, but it is great to see. I mean, there are positives to take out of that today, and it's just a shame of everything that happens off the pitch that seems to be taking over Leeds United, over Steve Evans' future, of course.
So let's quickly run through the Yorkshire results before we go. Of course, Leeds United losing 2-1 to Rotherham. A good win for Hull City, 4-0 victors over Bristol City. Huddersfield 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1. That's the Championship. In League 1, Bradford City 1, Scunthorpe 0. Bradford up to 5th in the League 1 table. Sheffield United 2-0 winners against Walsall. Gutting for Doncaster, a last-minute equaliser for Rochdale means it's finished 2-2, and York City drew 1-1 with Leyton Orient. Remember, tomorrow, Johnston's Paint Cup final, Barnsley take on Oxford from Wembley. Plenty of build-up towards that game throughout the day here on Radio Yorkshire. And more live sports as well, Castleford against Huddersfield in the Super League. Of course, Wakefield ran out winners against Salford as well earlier today. That's it from us. We'll see you same time next week.
On DAB Digital Radio, online, and with live TV, this is Radio Yorkshire.
From the Sky News Centre.